accident survivors waiting for critical surgeries, your generosity can give someone more life. Don't wait until the letters A, B, and O are missing from hospital shelves. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
All righty, folks. We welcome you back to the show. Appreciate you taking the time to spend some time with us today. Lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We're a week from the NFL draft. We got Zeppelin. We've got our guest courtesy of the Believe Podcast Network. You can catch his work, profootballnetwork.com. On Twitter, it's at Tony Pauline from just outside the Big Apple, a returning champ. Tony, how's life treating you and yours these days?
Well, a little bit crazy. I mean, you know, it's a lot of interviews this week trying to get the final pieces ready for the draft board, trying to decipher which news is true and which news is untrue. And every once in a while, you know, sit back and take a Zeppelin break. You know, you just played the beginning of the song Remains the Same. Do you know that when Jimmy Page produced that song, he actually speeded up the vocals of Robert Plant a bit? That's why Plant sings so high on that song.
I didn't know that. That's a great tidbit. I love it. Let's get a New York pulse. I know the Yankees are aggravating the locals. The Nets can't stay healthy, but I'm a lifelonger. Used to sit in the Loge, Section 32B, when my family had season's tickets during the Willis Glory years. So what's the buzz about those New York Knickerbockers?
I'm not a basketball fan. This is the wrong time to ask me about any sport but the NFL draft. I mean, I guess they're happy. When I turn on the radio, the few times I'm in the car and I'm listening, most of the talk is about the Nets, and there were some people who were very excited around here, I guess, about the Islanders. But
right.
I guess the fact that it's a good thing that the Knicks aren't scraping the bottom of the barrel, and it seems that they're heading the right direction. And after years and years of just disastrous results right up there with the New York Jets, I guess the Knicks fans got to be happy, but I hear in passing.
I gotcha. You know, you mentioned the Jets. Of course, they go second behind Jacksonville. So, what was your read on them throwing in the towel on Sam Darnold, deciding after three seasons the guy they originally moved up to get in that big deal with the Colts is not the answer, and now they're looking elsewhere?
That made sense. I mean, I had stating literally from January what I was hearing from people in the league, not necessarily in the Jets organization. It made sense for Joe Douglas, he's not a new general manager, the newer general manager, to trade Sam Darnold, because he really had no affiliation or no ownership of Darnold. But once, if he had kept Darnold, and all of a sudden Darnold becomes his quarterback, and then if Darnold does not perform well in 2021, has another really bad season, then all of a sudden, Joe Douglas is on the hot seat. He can start anew with a new coaching staff and a brand new quarterback who everyone expects will be Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I was going to, obviously, that's the follow-up. Is there any reason to think that they're going to deviate, make a move, take another guy, or is the BYU kid going to be the newbie?
I mean, nothing that I've heard, and to be honest with you, I haven't asked. But if that was going to happen, I'm sure someone would call me with an update on it. But I've heard nothing other than, you know, it's more a question now who they're going to draft with their second pick in the first round rather than the second pick of the draft.
Talking with Tony Pauline, ProFootballNetwork.com, the Believe Podcast Network. As for the Giants, you saw Daniel Jones, Colt McCoy sacked 50 times last year. Wayne Gallman was adequate after Barkley went down. So what are we looking for here? Center, guard, a weapon for Danny Dimes? What are you hearing about the direction Dave Gettleman is leaning?
Pass rusher. They are in desperate need of a pass rusher. They lost out on Leonard Floyd in free agency, which, I don't know what happened there. They did sign Kenny Golladay. I don't know that the offensive line is as in dire straits as people, you know, make it out to be, or the stats say, primarily because of the fact that they've got young guys up on the offensive line. They say defensive line. The offensive line is not in such dire straits as people making out to be. They got young guys on the offensive line. You know, you had one rookie in Thomas, the left tackle. They drafted another guy, Andrew Thomas. They drafted another guy in the third round, Matt Peart. And the fact is, with no rookie mini camps, with no regular camps, with no OTAs, none of that stuff, it's going to take a while for those guys to develop. I knew there would be bumps in the road because an offensive line gets better by playing together. So do I think they'll address the offensive line? Yes. Do I think it's a need early on? No, I don't think so. I think they may take a receiver there. Maybe they go offensive line. I think otherwise, as I reported last night, they could trade down if the right offer is given to them and then take one of those pass rushers in the middle of round one.
Yeah, and obviously in the rookie from last year, Thomas, they got a nice bookend there to start out. So a year ago out here in Duckland, we wondered what was going to become of Justin Herbert. Now Oregon fans eye on Penei Sewell, the outstanding tackle. I've seen him as low as 9 to Denver, maybe 5 to Cincinnati to help keep Burrow alive. How high are you on him and where he might go?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to go to Denver, even if he's there, because Denver has two good tackles. They need more of a quarterback. I mean, number one, Cincinnati would be insane to pass on him. Absolutely insane. I mean, you know, if there's any question in the Cincinnati front office or war room as to who they're going to take, I suggest they go back and look at the film of Joe Burrow being carted off with a massive knee injury to help them figure it out. So he's a perfect fit at left tackle for Cincinnati. If they draft him, you take Jonah Williams, who's had a lot of injury issues himself. You move him inside to guard or center, which I always thought was his best position to begin with. If he gets past Cincinnati, I think Detroit would take him. I think Carolina would love to have him. I think Denver's one of the few teams that may pass on him, and I think the Dallas Cowboys would absolutely love to have him as well.
A lot of Niner fans around here were like a Bay Area sister city, and of course they made it with the big move with the Dolphins to move from 12 to 3. Logic would indicate a sharp guy like John Lynch didn't roll the dice like that without a very specific player in mind. So are they going to pick Jimmy G's replacement, and will it be, if so, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, or a curveball?
It's absolutely going to be a quarterback. I think that Mac Jones is the front runner right now. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that it's going to be Mac Jones. I think they're going to have to figure out what they don't about the downside risk to Justin Fields and Trey Lance. The bottom line is this. In my opinion, Mac Jones is a massive reach with the third selection of the draft. He doesn't deserve to go there. If he does go there, it's because Kyle Shanahan is going to be pounding the table for him. Justin Fields and Trey Lance are superior when it comes to the physical skills, the arm strength, everything. But those guys are not as NFL ready, and those guys, you know, have more downside risk than Mac Jones. It'll be interesting to see. I have no definite word on it yet. You know, it seems to keep shifting left and right, which is exactly what the San Francisco 49ers wanted to do.
We're talking with Tony Pauline, ProFootballNetwork.com, part of the Believe Podcast Network. So the Raiders are interesting. Their defense was awful, but they also parted ways with their center, right guard, right tackle. So do they rebuild the line? Do they go playmaker? What are you hearing about Vegas?
Who knows? I mean, they always throw a curveball. A couple of years ago it was Cleveland Farrell early in the draft. Last year it was Damon Arnett. You know, common sense would tell you if a guy like Christian Darrisaw happens to drop down there, that would be the pick. I don't see any real center or guard available to them unless Rashawn Slater happens to slide, and I'm told there are some concerns about his back. I mean, with the Raiders, you never know. The Raiders would probably be this year's Seattle Seahawks, and everyone's going to expect them to go offensive line, and then they take a receiver or they take a quarterback. You never know with the Raiders because they always throw a curve. When Al Davis was there, they were going with the fastest guy in the draft. You know, it didn't matter. It was a long snapper there, and the guy ran a 4.3. That's who Al Davis was taking. But lately, you just don't know with Mayock or John Gruden.
couple final thoughts for Tony Pauline. I want to get to what you wrote about Ja'Marr Chase of LSU, who had that incredible 2019 opposite Justin Jefferson, who obviously was amazing as a rookie. So you're not just high on him as the top receiver in the draft. You talked about how long you've been doing this, and you find him historically elite.
Yeah, I think coming into the draft, somebody asked me the question, and it was a good question, where did Ja'Marr Chase rank as far as, you know, your all-time receivers that you've been scouting? And I have a Microsoft Access database. There's a plug for you. And I was able to basically pull up all the receivers that I've graded since 2003, and there were like 2,384 receivers. And there was Ja'Marr Chase sitting number four behind Calvin Johnson, behind Larry Fitzgerald, and behind somebody from Texas who never really made it. Doesn't surprise me, because the guy was terrific in 2018 and 2019 before deciding to opt out. I mean, he was as much a reason for Joe Burrow's record-setting campaign in 2019 and LSU winning the national title and probably Burrow winning the Heisman Trophy as much as anybody else. He's a complete receiver. You know, he's not as tall as Fitzgerald. He's obviously not as tall as Calvin Johnson, under six feet, but he's a legitimate deep threat. He can run underneath routes. He's fundamentally sound. He shows great awareness. He's tough. I mean, there's not a whole lot, except for the fact that if you like your receiver is to be 6 feet tall or over, that's the only knock I see on him.
And lastly, kind of in general, under the assumption that it's Trevor Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2, if you were the GM as far as your ratings, I mean, the next quarterbacks as far as Davis Mills, I'll throw in there, Kellen Mond, you mentioned Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones. I mean, those five, what would be your order of that, I guess, five?
Yeah, well, my quarterback order is obviously Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, then Justin Fields, then Trey Lance, then Kellen Mond, second round, then Kyle Trask, second round, then Davis Mills, second round. And then it falls off a cliff after that.
All right, no, because Mills is kind of intriguing. A, I don't think he's actually, if you add up his starts, he hasn't played a full season. But at one time, he was a blue chipper, I think, one of the top recruits in the country. So what have you heard? What do you know about him?
Coming into the season, a scout friend of mine on the West Coast said that if Davis Mills had the season that he's capable of and the season that people expected, he could be a top 15 pick. That's how highly rated he was, or highly thought of he was. You know, he was very inconsistent last year. A lot of it you got to pawn off as the fact that the Pac-12 couldn't get their act together, and it was a week-to-week struggle, and you didn't know whether you were playing week-to-week. And the fact is, you know, I don't want to say it wasn't a good situation at Stanford. It wasn't a winning situation at Stanford. You look how many underclassmen from Stanford left for the NFL draft, and some of those guys aren't even going to be selected in the draft. Forrest Sarrow, maybe he's a seventh-round pick. Weddington, the receiver, I don't think he's getting drafted. And all these guys, you know, left Stanford. So you got to wonder what's going on. I asked Davis Mills that when I saw him at a pro day type workout at the Senior Bowl, and he assured me, no, these guys just feel they're ready for the NFL. Davis Mills has got all the physical talent to play in the NFL. He's probably as physically gifted as the top quarterbacks in this draft. Better physical skills than Mac Jones. Better physical skills than Kyle Trask when you look at his arm strength. My concern with him is sometimes he seems slow to pull the trigger. Sometimes he does too much thinking. Sometimes he hesitates. And that is sometimes that's a very tough thing to coach out of a player. I know the Washington Redskins like him in the second round. I know the Chicago Bears like him in the second round. There's been some chatter about the Pittsburgh Steelers in the second round. He needs to go to a place that's got a great quarterback coach, somebody that can really develop his skills and kind of get into his head and help him read defenses quicker and do those sorts of things.
Man, terrific stuff as always. Folks, you're now ready for the draft. He's Tony Pauline, ProFootballNetwork.com, here courtesy of the Believe Podcast Network on Twitter, at Tony Pauline. TP, always enjoy it. Much appreciate your time. You and yours be well, and definitely look forward to catching up again not too far down the road.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back.
All right, take it easy. Fun stuff. A lot of good analysis there. And.